So why don't we try to go through, it's even when we organized the symposium, we were trying to figure out how to have people present the data. Do you present it by the agent? Do you present it by the maintenance or monotherapy? It's a little bit tricky, again, particularly for somebody on the outside. But why don't we go through certainly the three major indicated drugs in the United States right now and what the clinical research database is that relates to those three drugs. But before we do that, just one other drug I want to ask you about, because, you know, it's always hard to figure out when you have a class of drugs. And this is an important, I guess, general question, which is, what is the difference between these PARP inhibitors? Before we even start getting into this, in your own mind, in terms of both efficacy as well as tolerability issues, globally, how do you think about these three? And also, the other one I want to bring in is veliparib, because I've kind of heard some different things about veliparib. Before you get into the data globally, how do you see the difference between, let's say, these four drugs?
Okay. I think there's probably not much daylight between olaparib, rucaparib, and niraparib in terms of their activity as PARP inhibitors. You know, no one, of course, has done direct comparisons, but broadly, we're seeing the same single-agent responsiveness. We're seeing similar effects in the maintenance setting. We're seeing similar effects in the BRCA-mutated population and in the non-BRCA-mutated population. Those three drugs have slightly different spectra of toxicities. For example, with rucaparib, you get a little bit more liver function test abnormalities, a little bit more myelosuppression and nausea. With olaparib, anemia, fatigue, nausea are the key side effects. And with niraparib, you get more myelosuppression, particularly thrombocytopenia, which often occurs early in the treatment, and a little bit of hypertension. But, you know, all of those are manageable. And in all of the trials that have been done, a relatively small percentage of patients drop out of the studies on the basis of toxicity. They're all pretty manageable. Doses have to be modified. Drug holidays have to be sometimes given, but they're pretty manageable.
I wanted to ask you about the platelet thing before you get to veliparib. Yeah. Because at least in the data, I don't know, I don't think I'd seen that before. It wasn't that dramatic, but it was clearly there. But for example, do you see, you know, thrombocytopenia with olaparib and rucaparib just not as often, or you just don't see it?
Well, you don't really see it with olaparib. You see it to a degree with rucaparib, but it's much less than with niraparib. And it tends to be a sort of cumulative toxicity that you see after several months. What's peculiar about the niraparib toxicity is that the thrombocytopenia often occurs early, within the first two cycles. It was very uncommon to see significant thrombocytopenia beyond cycle three, beyond the third month, in the niraparib trial. So providing you can get through that first 3 months with dose interruptions or dose modifications, then usually you can manage the platelet count for the rest of the treatment period.